And now, ladies and gentlemen, Cy Kleinman live.
Thank God. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a pleasure to be here. I'll talk to you tonight on Jewish humor. The humor that says we laugh in order that we not cry. Now, this is something that I'm doing contrary to my father's will. My father's will said, Simon, say nothing. Because if you say nothing, nobody will ever ask you to repeat it or to explain it. As a matter of fact, my father said many things like that. The essence of Jewish logic. I once asked my father the secret of long life. And he said, Simmer, if you wanna live a long life, one thing you must remember. Every morning, get up. I said, Dad, that's marvelous, but how can I be sure to get up? Oh, he says, the night before, so drink a lot of water. It was that logic that taught me how to understand a letter that I once received from a friend who said, I would have enclosed a check, only I already sealed the envelope. You know what I did? I sent it back. Thanks to my father's logic, I said in a covering letter, your letter returned unopened. Please send check. Now, Jewish logic is rather interesting, and I'd like to talk to you about it. Think of the expression of someone who is asked to give charity and who says, when it comes to giving, I stop at nothing. And he really stopped at nothing. As a matter of fact, the UJA heard that a Tom O'Hanrahan living in Tuxedo Park, despite his name, was Jewish. So they ran immediately to his home and they accosted him. Mr. O'Hanrahan, we're here to expedite your contribution to the UJA. And he says, well, what are you calling on me for? Me name's O'Hanrahan. Oh, yeah, we know the name, but we heard a rumor that you are a closet Jew. And you're about to come out? No, he says, I'm not Jewish. Me wife is not Jewish. Me children are not Jewish. Me parents, Alav HaSholom, were not Jewish. And to take the Jewish curse, it is so involved, so convoluted, that by the time it is completed, all of its malediction is withdrawn. Listen. You should get so poor. You shouldn't have it a piece of bread in the house to eat. You should have to come to me. I should give it to you. And I shouldn't have it to give it to you. Mashiach, the coming of the Messiah. Two men discussing it. One says, what happens when the Messiah comes? And the other says, you don't know.
Oh, when the Messiah comes, so everybody that ever lived gets up from the graves, redemption, and we all go to Eretz Yisrael.
Hoy veis me. Everybody in Eretz Yisrael will be like India. The country will sink into the Mediterranean. Well, what will happen? The other fellow says,
don't worry. The good Lord, in his infinite wisdom, he delivered us from Pharaoh. He protected us from Amon. No, he'll save us from the Messiah.
And that is a typical Jewish story, the essence of survival. Freedom of speech known to all Jews throughout history. Today in Russia, a man says, freedom of speech. Amerikansky make big fuss, freedom of speech. We got it, freedom of speech. Soviet Union got freedom of speech. What we don't got is freedom after speech. We Jews will make fun and mock even our great leaders. I recall the story of a cantor who stood up once in his congregation and said,
I would like the entire congregation to share with me the joy to know that mine voice was insured by Lloyd's of London for $500,000.
And the place broke out in tumultuous applause. And the applause simmered down. Somebody in the back of the synagogue said,
"So what did you do with the money?"
And even our rabbis come in for some criticism. The two members of a congregation who were discussing their respective rabbis. One says, "My rabbi is the greatest rabbi in the whole world. My rabbi is so great, he could deliver a sermon an hour
and a topic."
And the other one says,
Gornish, my rabbi is even greater. My rabbi gives a sermon for an hour, no topic."
And now we come to the teachers. The mother talking to her son.
"Get up and go to school." "I ain't going to school today." "You get up and go to school." "I ain't going to school." She says, "You better have reasons." He says, "I got two good reasons. I hate the kids hate me." And he pulls the cover over his head, and she pulls it down. "You get up, get dressed, go to school." And he says, "Well, you better have reasons." She says, "I have two good reasons. You're 56 and you're the principal."
A non-Jew talking to a Jew.
"You boys have no background, no heritage. Why, my family goes back centuries. My great-great-grandfather fought with Washington. My great-grandfather fought with U.S. Grant. My grandfather fought with Theodore Roosevelt. My father fought with Pershing, and I fought with Eisenhower."
And the Jew says, "Your family don't get along with anybody, huh?"
Now that concept, family. I recall once when my father invited to our home a non-Jew, and after a beautiful Sabbath meal, he remarked,
"Louis, you got a wonderful religion. But you're not devout, you Jews. You don't worship the way we Catholics do. Some of you pray after you eat. Now we Catholics, we pray before each and every meal."
And my father said,
"Well, you have to. You're eating treif."
Treif, of course, non-kosher. When a man finds himself in France and looking around, he would like to eat once in his life a non-kosher meal. So he goes to a policeman, he says, "Tell me," he says,
"you got at a restaurant specializing in treif?"
And the policeman says, "Of course, monsieur. We have the great restaurant, Le Tour de Treiferie."
He says, "Is this really treif?"
"Glot treif, monsieur, glot. Don't worry."
And he goes to the restaurant, and there was the waiter. He looks at the menu, he doesn't understand it. He says, "Tell me, what is the treifest you got it?"
And the waiter says, "Monsieur, the treifest we got
is Sockling Pig." "Who is this, me? Sockling Pig? No, I'm here already. I'll go the whole hog."
They bring in the Sockling Pig on the groaning board, festooned with vegetables. And as he is about to plunge in, four men from his temple walk into the restaurant and yell, "Shmulevitz! Shmulevitz, what are you eating?" And he looks up and says,
"No, how do you like it, Paris? How they patchke up a baked apple?"
Let me talk a little bit about Israeli humor. Israeli humor is a put-down. For example, the Texan who comes to Israel and says,
"I kind of like this country, you good old boys. I think I'd like to come here, settle down, and franchise kibbutzes."
And the Israeli says, "So come." Well, he says, before I do, I want to be certain of one thing. If I do settle here, how can I be certain of ending up with a small fortune? And the Israeli says, bring with you a big one.
Two Israelis working side by side.
One says, tell me, what is the time? He says, 3:00. A few minutes later, what is the time? 3:30. What is the time? 4:00. What is the... Haven't you got a watch? He says, what do I need a watch? You got it, a watch. Why should we have duplication? He says, fine. But what happens at home, at night, in the morning? You want to find out the time? Oh, it's easy. I open up my window. I take my chauffeur. And I give a bless the chauffeur. Oh! Somebody always says, 2:30 in the morning, you're blowing a chauffeur. Lots of ways of skinning the same cat. I am reminded of the cat walking down the street with her little kittens. And suddenly, a tremendous bulldog accosts them. And the kittens run in fright to the mother cat. And the mother cat, protecting her brood, looked at the bulldog and went, ruff, ruff, ruff. The bulldog hears a cat barking. The bulldog turned and ran. And the cat looked at her little kittens and said, now, children, do you see the value of our second language? And a second language, sure enough, it is. We even make fun of death. A man is dying. His children come around. He says, children, I know I didn't pass the crisis. So anything now, ask. Later, I don't know I could answer. Dad, since you're talking that way, we do have a problem. The cemetery. You know, Mama's cemetery is in Westchester. We went up to see it. You can't see it. It's overgrown with weeds. You just can't see it. Your old cemetery is in New Jersey. Dad, you know, that's already 2 bridges, 2 tolls. It's getting expensive. We all live here in Nassau County. How about something in Suffolk? New Montefiore. Which would you prefer, Dad?
He says, I'll tell you what, children. Surprise me.
Well, the man who's dying, and he calls his wife.
And he says, Shade, Shade, Shoshun, I'm dead. Shoshun, I want you should immediately find somebody and get married. As a matter of fact, during the Shoivishish, while the rabbi is talking, look around. Maybe someone there takes you home. Start a relationship. Oh, she says, Bonnie, that's so nice. Why? He says, because I want somebody should be sorry that I died.
A man says to another, how is it in your law firm the name is so peculiar? McCarthy, O'Reilly, and Mandelbaum. Why is your name last?
Oh, he says, don't worry. He says, my clients read from right to left.
It's similar to the man who said,
what a wonderful country, America. I came here an immigrant boy. I didn't have it a penny in the pockets. Today, a partner, a flourishing firm, Schwartz and McCarthy. Look, where except in America could you have it a firm Schwartz and McCarthy and on the best from times? Never a harsh void between us. And I got for you noch a further surprise. I'm McCarthy.
The couple that moves from Scarsdale, New York to Atlanta, Georgia. And in Atlanta, they decide to join a temple. And they decide that if they make a rather significant contribution, perhaps the rabbi might announce it on the pulpit, and they get immediate notoriety. So they find themselves a temple, B'nai Peachtree. And they go to B'nai Peachtree, and they meet the sexton, whose name is Mr. Bubba Berkowitz. And Bubba Berkowitz takes them to meet the rabbi, Rabbi Robert E. Levy. Rabbi Levi says, "Well, Todah Rabbah to you. May I say on behalf of the entire Hebrew mission, it's a pleasure to welcome you. We hope you take an active part."
"So, Rabbi, we don't want to just take an active part. You have maybe a project?"
"Of course we do. We're building a cheder. We've been building it 17 years. Next year going to be high for the cheder. Right now all we got is an excavation full of grits."
"Rabbi, shall we say $5,000 for the cheder?"
"Well, for mach ma moi. May I have the privilege of announcing that on the pulpit on Friday night?"
"Of course, Rabbi, if you think it's appropriate, why not, of course."
So they come Friday night, place is crowded. And the rabbi gets up just towards the end of the service and says, "Before we conclude the service with the singing by our Chazan, Stonewall Shapiro, what he gonna sing to us, I don't know, love, followed immediately by Dixie, I would like to announce Mr. and Mrs. Irving Mandelbaum and their generous contribution to our ongoing cheder of $10,000. And the wife says, "What $10,000? You said it $5,000. "I know I said it five. "So what he said at 10? "I don't know why he said it 10. "Tell him immediately five. "How could I tell him five? "They sing in the very Dixie. "Not a song I have to learn. "I think I don't know. "Now Dixie I got to learn. "All right, no, I'll tell him after." Service, they run to the rabbi and they say, "Rabbi,
I thought I said it $5,000 for the cheder."
"Of course you did. And I made a boo-boo and said 10. I'll fake, I'll fake, I'll fake. I'll tell you how we're going to correct that. Tomorrow morning at the Shabbat service, I will announce a reduction in your contribution."
"Oi, oi, oi, good thing you have a reduction. This is worse yet for nothing. Don't announce no reduction."
"All right, leave it at 10. I'll make him 2 installments of the 10,000.
Face. And you people lost the war? How did you lose the war? You raise money like this. All right. No.
Tell me, Rabbi, I put up a plaque something."
"Of course you do. You put up a nice bronze plaque. But it must have something biblical on it."
"Biblical, hoy vessels, I'm biblical, all right."
A year later, they dedicate that wall. And as they pull the curtain, there is this magnificent bronze plaque, which says, "Donated by Mr. and Mrs. Irving Mandelbaum. Quote, we came as strangers and we were taken in." When my grandfather was in his latter years, he was taken to a senior citizen's home. He was active, and among his other activities was that he planned various productions, entertainments, and diversions for the group. He did a very interesting program called Velvele Shakespeare, Verteutscht und Verbessert. William Shakespeare, improved and translated. I came, of course, to hear it. At this point, they announce the program. And I start to think, as I look at the program, what am I going to hear? And the first item is an excerpt from Hamlet. A man appeared on the stage in pajamas instead of leotards. And the speech, to be or not to be, what could he say? And I thought of the possibilities.
Zu sein oder nicht zu sein, das ist die Frage. Or even possibly, if you were very intelligent, zu sein oder nicht zu sein,
das ist die Scheile.
Or, knowing my grandfather, zu sein oder nicht zu sein,
das ist die Katze. Waiting to hear which would be chosen, I almost went into a state of catatonic shock when he began.
Zu sein oder nicht zu sein. Du lick der Hund, war gut.
Fantastic choice, and yet meaningful. And then I thought, how could he handle to die, to sleep, perchance,
to dream.
Aye, there's the rub.
He was up to.
Sie schlafen, efsche, sie happen a drimmel. Oi, du se takke ben gay.
At this point, I thought, it was a fair attempt. Then the man came out who was going to do Macbeth. Out, brief candle.
Arois, kleine Jahrzeitlampe.
Life's but a walking shadow, a poor player who struts and frets his hour upon the stage and then is heard no more.
Der Leben is a gefährliche Krank, a verblongete Klotz, wo's mitchet sich a Stunde auf dem Bimmer und nachher wachst a Stimme Bebach.
Tis a tale told by an idiot.
Sie's a Bubemanzer, der zählt bei a Maschigene.
Full of sound and fury.
Geschwollen, gepockt und gemuzzelt.
Signifying nothing.
Was meint nur a Bobke.
A woman flits across the stage.
Romeo, Romeo, bist du verblanchet, Romeo? Nimm mir zu dir Huppe zu, ich will sein Amante du.
Humor occurs in very strange ways. It is nostalgic, and it is in many respects tragic. A wise man once defined humor as tragedy with the intervention of suitable time. And I think that's true. I think we laugh at tragedy, and that's why Jewish humor is the humor of survival. There is a time to laugh and a time to cry. So said Koheleth in Ecclesiastes. In conclusion, I once appeared very early in my career before a group of people at a hospital. And I concluded with the statement, I hope you all get better. And someone said, we hope you do too. Thank you.